Ooh, really went cold this morning. Last night it was actually very nice and clear sky and warm, and we're hoping for some nice sunny weather again for doing the last two of the sacred places planned for today, which were the two on the Jamuna. And while we were out there, we also got the inspiration to actually make a long paved walk all along the length of the Jamuna River. Anyway, we did go out, and it was quite chilly, but it was very nice. And at the beginning, I was telling about the story of Bahulavan, which we passed by on our way down. Bahula, the cow, to be more specific. And it's a very interesting example, something that we can all really meditate on in this day and age, because it reflects the value and integrity of truth, and how much Krishna personally values truthfulness. The story of Bahula is that Bahula was a cow, and she was grazing in Bahulavan, and a tiger came along. There are different versions of the story. Some say that the tiger was Yamaraj, others that it was just a regular tiger, a Brijbasi tiger anyway. And the tiger wanted to eat her, so Bahula said, "Well, let me say goodbye to my calf and feed her one more time." And the cow said, "Well, all right, if you promise to come back." And Bahula said, "Yes, I'll come back." So Bahula went back to her place of residence, which was the Brahmin's home. She informed the Brahmin. In those days, cows were able to also speak human language. So she was able to inform the Brahmin also of what had occurred that day, and also told her calf. And as it turned out, both the calf and the Brahmin, they became so sympathetic that they both wanted to offer themselves in exchange for the cow. So all three of them turned up back with the tiger. So instead of having one meal, the tiger potentially had three. Anyway, in the Yamaraj tiger version, then the tiger was so satisfied with the truthfulness of Bahula, as well as the other two, that he let them all go. And in the regular tiger version, Brijbasi tiger version, Krishna came, appeared, and convinced the tiger not to do what came naturally to him. And in that way, the cow, calves, and Brahman were freed. Now, on the bank of Krishna Kund, there's a temple with Krishna in it, and a tiger, and a calf, and a cow, and a Brahman. The importance for me of the whole story is, on one side, how the cow valued her word of honor, that she could have just run away, but she didn't. She considered her word of honor more important than her life. And then the rest of the story, which I didn't really say, that in reward for that truthfulness, Krishna accepted that cow to become his wife, some say his Sakhi, Gopi, and Bahula therefore eternally resides there in Bahulavan as the consort of Lord Krishna. And Krishna therefore so much values that truthfulness that he was willing to give in recognition of such honesty his eternal association and such an exalted position to a cow. Kali Yuga means that this is the last leg of religion, truthfulness, and it's the one that's waning. My experience is that of that, in just seeing what to speak of how non-devotees are untruthful. I mean, that goes without saying, especially politicians and the like, but even how the tendency is there in devotees, and even devotees from their conditioning and the habits with which they come to Krishna consciousness, they really need to be weaned off of being dishonest, in other words, speaking out and out lies, or not really telling the truth, or telling half-truths. If we really want to reverse the process and reestablish again all four legs of religion, we better first solidify the one that's dissolving right now. The others are already all gone, so they're much more difficult to build up. This one is still there, although it's being undermined at every moment by forces around us and within us. For that reason, devotees really need to make a concerted, extraordinary effort to themselves be truthful in their dealings, straightforward, honest, avoiding duplicitous talk, diplomacy, dishonesty, and what have you. It will certainly help devotees cultivate the mood of goodness, to be really recognized as being brahmanas, as people who always tell the truth at any cost. And then, of course, the often misused excuse, Krishna wanted Yudhisthira Maharaj to lie, and devotees are transcendental to all of these things. We should remember that this transcendental rule of thumb, which devotees tend to invoke, often in order to rationalize activities in the mode of passion and ignorance, you become transcendental to something once you've achieved it. In other words, you become transcendental to honesty once you've already achieved the platform of honesty. When you're perfectly honest and you're required for some reason to transcend that type of behavior, then you can transcend it. But if you've never even reached it, how can you transcend something you've never reached or you don't have? So, worthwhile cultivating such qualities. They're certainly befitting what people in the outside world would expect from religious people, from a religious organization, for people for whom values are more important than practicality, and who base their lives on the good teachings of revealed scriptures, wherein such qualities as honesty and truthfulness and cleanliness and austerity are extolled. Anyway, this was sort of my thought as I was coming back today in this really, really cold weather. All of a sudden, it's almost like fall again, getting on to winter. How important it is, and how a wonderful quality honesty is, and how much Krishna values that quality in his devotees, that he's willing to reward it with his personal association and with making someone his eternal consort. So, nice thought for the day, and Hare Krishna to everyone.